as you know, we spend a lot of time talking about our broken borders on the old McIntyre in the Morning Show, and this is a subject that I think is of enormous importance. And here in Southern California, Los Angeles specifically, we have Special Order Number 40, which prohibits the LAPD from cooperating, essentially, with the INS agents. In other words, if a Los Angeles police officer pulls over a suspect for whatever reason, they are prohibited by Special Order Number 40 from inquiring as to the suspect's immigration status. Now, this has been controversial ever since it was enacted by Daryl Gates many years ago, and it's representative of the look-the-other-way attitude that we have in this country about lawbreakers who come across the border illegally, even though we spoke to Time Magazine's Elaine Shannon this morning about an Al-Qaeda plot that they reported in Time Magazine to smuggle WMDs into the United States. We're doing everything we can think of to open the borders further. Well, I am happy to report that not just Tom Tancredo is on the case. Steve Levy is the county executive for Suffolk County, New York, which is the eastern end of Long Island, a very big place with a lot of people living there. And I grew up in Nassau County, so I'm very familiar with Suffolk County. And Steve Levy has deputized the Suffolk County Police Department as federal immigration agents. Now, this has caused the New York Times to have a hissy fit. In a lead editorial on November 9th, titled "To Serve and Deport," the New York Times says, quote, "If you asked a politician to brainstorm for a really bad idea, something, say, that would betray and frighten his weakest constituents, embolden criminals, hamstring the police, strain law enforcement resources, cheer the hearts of community bigots, and waste a lot of money, it could take a while, but he might come up with a plan as offensive as what Steve Levy has in mind for Long Island's Suffolk County." Well, we've got a lot of experience with this subject in Southern California and the Southwest, and I, for one, couldn't be happier to welcome to McIntyre in the Morning Steve Levy. Steve, how are you?
Very good, Doug. Thank you for having me on the show.
I appreciate you spending time with us. And, Steve, the reason we wanted to have you on is for all the reasons I just stated. In the Southwest, out here, we've been carpet and bellyaching about this border situation for 30 or 40 years. And many of the charges that are being leveled against you have been leveled against anybody who had the temerity to bring this subject up. And I'm actually surprised the New York Times didn't lead with bigot, because that's usually bigot, racist is the first thing out of the box.
Yeah, you know, we're living in this politically correct world where, you know, a biased media and some of these far-out advocacy groups tend to demonize, you know, average taxpayers who simply want their laws enforced. The genesis of my measures really came about because we have an illegal underground economy that's percolating in Suffolk, which is putting out of business those contractors and companies that want to play by the rules, the guys who want to get licensed and pay their workers' compensation and unemployment insurance and abide by labor laws. They can't compete against these guys to cheat. And what is our government doing? It's encouraging the cheaters to cheat because the elected officials look the other way, and we understand why. Whenever someone speaks out simply to enforce the laws, the politically correct police jump down on them, call them bigoted, call them misguided, and even saying that they're emboldened criminals. It's really crazy.
Well, we're talking with Steve Levy, who is the chief executive of Suffolk County, Long Island. And, Steve, everything that you're talking about is something, are points that we have been discussing endlessly out here. And the reason I wanted to have you on was to offer some support for millions of Southern Californians who have been crying on deaf ears. And by the way, I don't know whether you're a Democrat or Republican. To me, it's irrelevant. And this issue of the race card being played, well, my attitude about it is this. Look, there are bigots and racists and xenophobes in the anti-immigrant movement. There's no question about that.
Agreed.
But there are also bigots and racists in the pro-open border movement. La Raza, for instance, means the race. Inside the race, everything. Outside the race, nothing is their motto and their coat of arms. So let's take the race card off the table, because It's just a way of shutting down the debate. We're a nation at war. We're a nation with outsourcing and insourcing that is dramatically impacting the wages of working people and the working poor, most impacting legal immigrants and other minority groups in America. And this charge of racism is just a way of stifling debate. You can't even have a discussion without being shouted down.
In some ways, you're right. And I have to point out, Doug, you know, I'm pro-immigration, very much so. I think it adds to our economy and to our culture. And that goes for whether it's from Central America, China, Russia, Western Africa. It doesn't matter to me. What we want is some kind of control of our borders and our street corners, to have people coming in a legal fashion with papers so that we know who is in within our borders, and that they're paying their sales taxes and income taxes and everything else that goes with it. And, unfortunately, we do have extremists on both sides. We do have the bigots on the right, which you had mentioned, the extremists, and on the left, really, we have those who are preaching anarchy. They don't want to enforce our laws. They want us to continue to look the other way. And I think in the middle is the 90%, the vast majority of our residents, who just want some kind of a balance. They abhor the violence and the hate speech and the vigilantism, but they also abhor elected officials who continue to look the other way and allow this breakdown of our system to continue.
And Steve, what's most distressing about this is that there's been a collapse of the two-party system in America. The Democratic Party threw in the towel on this subject long, long time ago because of political correctness and because of expedience, that as immigrants from Central and South America, Mexico, get mainstreamed into America, ultimately the majority of them had been tracking as Democratic voters or customers for social welfare programs that were administered by local Democratic officials. The Republican Party didn't do much about the subject either, but they used to lie to us sweetly about it. But now, with President Bush's non-amnesty program he announced on January 7th, and the influence of multinational corporations that want to insource cheap labor to drive down the cost of the cost of labor when they can't outsource, and there are industries like agriculture and meatpacking and poultry and hotels and in construction and on and on and on it goes. This is by design. It's not happening in a vacuum, and it's not happening just because of political correctness.
Well, you know, there are those who will continue to promote this illegal underground economy by saying that, those who are present residents will not do this work. And, you know, I take issue with that. I think people will not do the work at sub-wages. who was doing the work 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 30 years ago? People who were in the neighborhood when you pay a proper wage. I don't care if the person doing that work is a guy who was born here, is someone who's an immigrant who came here legally, but pay the proper wages, pay the benefits, do not have companies that seek to shirk their responsibility by avoiding getting licensed and paying their proper workers' comp and unemployment insurance. When you have an individual who's undocumented who gets hurt on a job, who picks up the tab? Eventually it's the taxpayer. So, look, let's have more immigration. I'm fine with that. Just do it in a legalized, controlled fashion. And let's have control as to who's coming in, who's not. And that's really the way to go. And I think that's what the overwhelming majority of our population agrees with.
We're talking with Steve Levy. He's the county executive for Suffolk County, New York, which is the eastern end of Long Island. And, Steve, the New York Times meltdown, rhetorical meltdown, I suppose it was predictable. But it's also so disillusioning because the rhetoric that they're throwing at you is the same rhetoric that has been thrown at anybody who spoke out here in the Southwest over the last 30 years. But there is a sea change happening in America, and I really believe that Lou Dobbs on CNN has been very, very important in doing his nightly segment, Broken Borders, because for so long this issue has been relegated to talk radio where it was easily dismissed as the province of cranks and kooks. But now it's starting to mainstream. Newsweek magazine special report, very important. Could you talk to us briefly? I know that Suffolk County has a migrant labor force in the agribusiness, and they've had it for many years as potato farms out there and other things. But it's not just agriculture anymore. We don't have 8 to 14 million people working in agriculture.
Now, what you're having now is a number of undocumented individuals working, of course, in landscaping, the restaurant business, and now we're even seeing it to a great extent in construction, where it is bringing down wages for those who would otherwise be making a living for their family in that regard. If I could show how politically correct the times have been and others have been, my proposal was, I think, rather tame in its parameters. What we were looking to do, Doug, was simply to identify those who were picked up for criminal behavior. Not a massive sweep that we're checking people randomly on the streets or raiding restaurants or landscaping businesses. These were individuals who were picked up for gang-related activity, for narcotic sales, things along these sexual predators. All we wanted to be able to do was identify which of these individuals are not here properly, and we wanted to coordinate with the federal government to get them out. And you wouldn't believe it. That is termed by the New York Times as emboldening criminals. It's exactly the opposite. We're trying to get the undocumented criminal off the streets, and you would not believe the visceral reaction that this has had, even with its limited parameters and its limited scope.
Boy, do I wish you were running the L.A. Board of Supervisors. Hey, Steve, you want to take a phone call?
Sure.
Okay, we have on the line with us Evelyn from Irvine, who is a border reform activist who has been in the front ranks out here for many, many years. I've spoken to her many times. Evelyn, say hello to Steve Levy.
Yes, hello, Steve. I'm so glad that you're on the air for people here to listen to. Believe it or not, we are very well aware of what's going on in Long Island, in Farmingville, where the day laborers stand around on corners by the 50s and 100s, and 40 and 50 live in a house. And we also understand that you're getting heavy pressure from LULAC, MALDEF, and the National Council of the Race. And I sure hope that you withstand all of that.
Well, we are, adamant in trying to make sure that the original concept of getting some of these gang members and these drug dealers and these other individuals who shouldn't be here, getting them out of here. How we go about doing that, I'm open to ideas, but so far we've seen a federal government that's looked the other way. We've seen many on the local level who don't want to touch this with a 10-foot pole. I think it's high time that if you just speak the truth and bear with the name calling for a while, it's the overwhelming majority of the people who will back you up. But, so long as they're moderate in their tone, we have to recognize that there are some nutcases there on both sides. And there are some people who go over the line. Even in that Farmingville film that was done a couple of months ago, it portrayed some individuals who were really on a deep end. They did feed a number of undocumented immigrants and went overboard. And those people should be castigated, and we threw them in jail and to let them rot. So we have to speak out against that type of violence and hate speech. By the same token, there's some on the far left who are simply anarchists who try to demonize regular residents who are just trying to prevent 16 people from overcrowding a single-family home next door, or to have, 30 or 40 people standing on a street corner. You go to the Department of Labor if you're looking for employment. You don't stand on the street corners. So these are the type of things that we're trying to address, the real quality of life issues that people deal with every day.
Yeah, it's amazing how the New York Times will always find, the crackpot white supremacist, hates anybody who doesn't look like them coming into the country. But they'll ignore a website like Aslan.net, which is a virulently anti-Semitic, anti-American website that's claiming that Alta California, that this is, Mexican land and they're going to take it back. And it's just, it's virulently hate-filled by Ernesto Cienfuegos, Ernest 100 Fires, who we had on the show one time, spewing hate. And they never talk about that side of it. Steve, I have to say, I really admire you for speaking up on this issue. And I wish you the very best of luck. Would you like 1,000 emails of support? Because we could get them for you in a heartbeat.
I'll tell you, I'll take it. Because, the extremists on both sides speak loud and clear, and they tend to get all the media attention. We want to hear from the average citizen.
Well, why don't you give out, give out an email address, and I know that a lot of listeners out here, and you can take it as a cautionary tale from a part of the country that's been dealing with this issue longer than any other part of the country. We've got a lot of experience fighting this issue, so give out an email address and folks can write to you.
Well, I will. Actually, Steve Levy, Suffolk County Government, Suffolk County Steve Levy, it's Steve Levy at SuffolkCountyNY.gov.
Okay, so it's Steve Levy at SuffolkCountyNY.gov.
Correct.
Okay, and Levy is L-E-V-Y.
Correct.
All right, Steve, I can't thank you enough for being with us this morning. We're going to follow this story and see and check in with you from time to time if you don't mind.
Oh, we'd love that. Thank you very much.
Okay, I appreciate you being with us this morning.
Bye-bye.
And that is Steve Levy, who is the county executive of Suffolk County, New York. It's an area with over a million people. When I was a kid growing up in New York and Long Island, Suffolk County was still very suburban, very rural. Potato farms, duck farms, corn, you know, agriculture.
And Steve alluded to a PBS documentary, Farmingville, which was on not long ago, and it's really an amazing job of, you know, fleshing out the whole problem from both points of view.
And there are two sides to the story in terms of excesses and vigilantism and some people who are just, you know, crazy right-wing nuts who just are racist. But I can't divorce those people from the reality of the issue. And the issue is as real as a heart attack. The issue is profoundly real. And
particularly
as long
in that area, which is not a border state. I mean, that's an island outside of New York City, and it's just shocking for people who never have been to California to see, you know, all these migrant workers up there.
Well, this is the other aspect of this story that has for years been perceived as a Southwest province, a California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas problem. And in fact, the safe houses that were busted in Watts and the one up in the valley, what were they doing? Our market is so super saturated even with cheap labor that they were holding these people prisoners until they could be transported to LAX and flown to places like Pennsylvania where they're used as virtually slave labor to cut the grass on golf courses. And we're literally exporting, becoming a clearinghouse, we're becoming the Costco for cheap labor for the rest of the country, and places like Long Island are suffering or feeling the impact of it the way we were maybe 20, 30 years ago, but at least they've got somebody who's willing to take the heat and stand up and talk about it.
Well, I think Mr. Levy is brave to do that, but I tell you, the portrayal of the people who are hiring these people is not very flattering. This Farmingville PBS documentary, which you can rent, I believe, now. It's a DVD.
I'm going to look for that. All right, it's 27 minutes after the hour of 8. I'm Doug McIntyre. This is McIntyre in the Morning. When we come back, 90 KBC. McIntyre.